When the good spirits resist, if they have perseverance, the others will withdraw and then the good will have the opportunity to have an impact. It is very, very often like this. Before a person comes to a decision, there is a spiritual battle going on around him. A person's good disposition naturally helps good to win. If man tends to do what is better and nobler, good will always prevail. It always depends on whether the spirits have a higher mission. There are some who come together on their own initiative and form a ring, without any higher mission. But when spirits are sent on a higher mission, they have your support. But it is as this spirit explained, you must pay attention to this special glow, this light. It is, I would like to say, the identifying mark of dissolution. Who sends this certificate in each individual case? Is this the leader of the person in question? Joseph, it is the higher spiritual world that sends this illusion. It is those who keep their eye on all these things. As you know, there are ghosts everywhere, watching everything. They then receive the power from higher sources, which they pass on. Because these spirits could not release this power on their own, it has to come from higher up. You must be aware that the highest spirits have tremendous power. All power belong to Christ Himself, resources available to work. He can also give sight to a blind man. He has this power that other spirits do not have. The higher spiritual world passes these powers on to its siblings. She must send it or agree that this power may be given. The higher a person's protective spirit, the greater his power. He can destroy so much impurity in people's surroundings that many obstacles are removed right from the start. How did the actual guardian spirit of these people behave? Did he stand a little off to the side? Joseph, no, this guardian spirit is always in contact with the other spirits. He may have long since asked for more help to be given to his prot. He knows exactly the limits of how far he can exert his influence. And when the decision comes again from a higher point of view that it has to be done in this way, then it will be done. The guardian spirit, I would like to say, steps aside and has to accept the orders that come from higher up. But it is the case that the person's protective spirit is always in contact with these spirits that are around the person and asks that this and that be brought to fulfillment. So it is not entirely the case that he is ignorant or suddenly confronted with facts, but rather the guardian spirit is largely the one who establishes these connections. Thanks. And the human being himself is also torn back and forth by this battle between the good and the evil spirits. Joseph. Yes, that is why people often have this fickleness. Dear Joseph, Vincenzo said that he always called on Saint Anthony. What happens in a moment like this to the many people who do the same? Joseph, yes, I would also like to mention that this spirit who spoke to you forgot to tell us something. When he was in the spiritual world, he looked for this Antonius, but did not find him. He had to think about it and ask himself, why did we pray to this Saint Anthony, and where is he? He had to come to higher knowledge. Here a higher spirit can definitely give you the answer and say, yes, my dear, this Saint Anthony is still a long way away for you, if you mean the real and holy Anthony. Yes, but at the moment when Vincenzo prayed to him, he felt that his strength was strengthened. Joseph, yes, of course. But how was this power triggered? Joseph, it is like this. Let us say now, if a person is in some kind of trouble and says to himself and is convinced of it, I am going to pray to Saint Anthony now, then I will definitely be helped, then this faith helps him. I would like to say, this Antonius personality does not matter at all, it is not even there. But through firm belief in him, the praying person's own strength is increased. So in a sense he is now drawing from his personal power, he increases the strength within himself and takes it from himself. This is something that people cannot always understand either. You have to distinguish between when and where a spiritual influence exists, where spiritual power is transferred to a person and where the person stimulates the power on their own and is themselves the creator of it. Let's take, For example, a person, a mother, who is sick and wants to die, who no longer enjoys life and does nothing on her own to get better. And now suddenly the news comes that her son, whom she already has I have not seen her for many years, comes home. Now she suddenly has a power within her, she wants to see her son, she wants to live, she does not want to die anymore. Now she is boosting the strength she still has within her, and she may even be able to get healthy, depending on the strength she has. Of course, if this power has been lost too much beforehand, then it will be difficult to stimulate it again to the same extent. But, I would like to say, the extremely great joy is able to stimulate this strength in her to live again. This is often the case with people who are seriously ill and go to a certain person with the firm conviction that, this person can help me. He is a healer, only he can help me. He helps, even if he does not radiate a spark of strength to this person. The sick person himself cranked up his own strength and pulled away. But I do not mean to say that there aren't people who could transmit healing power to others. When I say something, you should not assume that this is the only thing that is decisive in all things, but there are so many things and each has to be judged from its own point of view. Then such an invocation of Saint Anthony does not even create a bond with him? Joseph, number. This was, experience report of the ascending spiritual being Vincenzo and answering questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, Lyric Template, tape recording. Next headline, July 2, 1958. Helene, caught in memories of a comfortable earthly life in wealth, how she learns to leave the past behind her, to look forward and to take on a task in the plan of salvation. Greetings from the control spirit. Helene, God bless you. It was explained to me that music would be played before I spoke. Well, making myself known this way for the first time is a bit troublesome for me, I will try. My dear brothers and sisters, I have been asked to speak to you. I have been able to stay among you for a long time and listen to your meetings. I also chose a person here and there, approached him and tried to fulfill my task with him. I should now first briefly describe how I lived. I have had a pretty nice life, but I have been very far away or very distant from God. I had not asked about him in particular, and when I came to the afterlife, I was surprised that life went on. It was explained to me, you live on. I really missed the beautiful house and the beautiful surroundings in which I had lived. My parents greeted me, just briefly, and I was disappointed by their appearance. They looked so poor, and yet they had been such rich people in their lives. I was already thinking about it and wondering what my appearance would be like. They were not with me long, they just disappeared. I saw a beautiful, lofty figure next to me who instructed me to follow, and I was led into a house. The sphere was not particularly beautiful, and the house, I was disappointed, because my house when I was alive was so beautiful and so clean, and their gardens were well maintained. I was disappointed that I was not allowed to live alone but had to be with many others. They had no customs, no order and nothing. This was what bothered me the most. I should live with them. Yes, I slowly had to get used to their disorder and bad habits. But then, after a certain time, an acquaintance came to me. I had not paid much attention to her in life. She lived near my house or in my village. She was known by her fellow human beings as a helpful, good soul. But she was poor and I had taken no notice of her. In her life she was called Pia, and so I would like to call her by that name. She then came to see me and explained that she was happy to be able to visit me. I now saw how beautiful she was, and that made me a little uneasy and, I will be honest, I was jealous of her beautiful appearance. As a person she was anything but beautiful, she was poorly dressed and not particularly beautiful in appearance. Well, I asked her why she was visiting me and she said she wanted to talk to me about the future in the afterlife, what I had to do. I replied that yes, If she wanted to make me happy, it would be that she would talk to me about the past good times in my life. I would want nothing else than to live off my memories. Because all I had done was keep looking back, I still enjoyed the beauty that I had as a human being, I lived only on memories. Then she said to me, "No, Helene, you are no longer allowed to live on memories. That is over now. Now you have to align yourself completely differently. You have to think differently, stop studying the past." I did not like taking such instructions from her, and I briefly explained to her that if she did not want to do me the favor of talking to me about her memories, then I did not want her to continue to visit me either. She replied, "Well, she did not come on her own. A man I sent her and a son of mine came to see her and asked her to visit her mother and bring greetings. I was particularly attached to this son. I wanted to know how he was doing. My parents greeted me, but I did not see my son. Now I was only given brief greetings from him. Of course, I became a little more curious and wanted to know if it would not be possible for him to come to me himself, since she had also found the way." She said briefly, "No," and said goodbye. Yes, that is what I had in mind. I talked about it and I realized that I had not spoken correctly. But I was so desperate. Living with the other beings was terrible for me, and Pia did not want to talk to me about the good times past. So I just had to wait. At first I did the same as the others, I went to people. But soon I no longer enjoyed it. I could not be with them because I saw how they lived and I remembered too much of my life. I could no longer go to people, it meant pain or suffering to me. So I just went in and out of my house and the surrounding area where I was banned or where I was allowed to stay. Now a friend came to me again. She had lived with me and she had not grown up in my particular environment. But she told me that she had also had a visit from Pia and that she had brought her flowers from my son's garden. This hurt me. She got flowers from my son's garden while I did not hear from him. Then I thought, yeah, I will try to adjust myself differently. I also prayed, I asked God to forgive me for everything I had done wrong. I asked whenever I had the strength to do so, but I simply had no desire to pray. I was dissatisfied with myself, not at peace with myself, I was unhappy. The next time Pia visited, I asked her if she would at least talk to me about her life's memories. Then she did it, she spoke to me, but after that she did not appear again for a long time. I tried to reach her through other siblings. She then came back to me and explained that she had been reprimanded for talking to me about my past, that is why she was not allowed to come anymore and she does not want to talk about it anymore. I thought, well, I don't talk about life anymore, I don't want to think about it anymore. So I tried to empathize with the busyness of the many other beings who lived with me. Then I had to see that Pia was coming again. But she did not approach me, but rather other spirits who lived with me. I approached her and asked her to come to me. She said she would not come until I finally set out and changed my thoughts and attitude. I should now start to think differently and consider that I am now in the kingdom of God and also have my work, that I should look for work and not live so idle. I would probably have accepted such speeches from someone else, it would not have mattered to me who said them, I just could not stand it from this peer. Of all people, she came to me and I could not bear that she had given me such instructions. Well, I promised her I would do it. I wanted to make a change and look for work. She did not get involved with me and then did not come back for a long time. So I saw, had to see it, that there had now been retribution, that man's difficult life had found its reward and that the many overcomings and the many good things that people had done were now rewarded in the spiritual world became. I also saw in myself and in many others who lived a beautiful life, but who passed life by, whose lives were simply meaningless, they had accomplished nothing of value and, as a result, had no merit. So you did not have the acquaintance or approach of higher spiritual beings. They were always concerned with those and were especially concerned with those who had done a lot of good things in life. who also hid their faults, but who were good deep down and were not so interested in the comfortable and beautiful life. So I had to see that they had gotten away from these houses or this sphere much faster. Then I thought, okay, I will do it that way too. I will now try to think about what you could do to help others in this environment where you live. Perhaps in this way you will also earn your merits and the attention of higher beings. That's how I did it. I tried to comfort those others who were also unhappy. Some people always wanted to live off memories, like I did. I then explained to them that you were probably no longer allowed to do this, that you now had to think completely differently and always be helpful and go wherever you saw unhappy siblings and enlighten them and, if possible, try to pray with them. I did, have done that, and have connection found. Others came with me, they then had their own opinion, and so I became a little freer and a little more content. Then I received a visit from Pia again and she brought me my son's flowers from his garden. I may mention, he was a really good person and he had died in the war. So I realized that he was far, far above me in the spiritual realm. He really had been a good person. But we sometimes could not understand him in life, precisely because of his actions and the understanding he showed his fellow human beings, we did not agree on that. Now I saw that he thought and acted correctly and had his life accordingly. Pia then said to me that yes, what I was doing now was right and that I could be helped if I were even more eager and hard, working. If I now had a wish or asked that someone would guide me, and I would now not only go spiritually to brothers and sisters, but would also do exactly what I resist, namely, seek out people and assist them, and acted on it with all my strength, then I should achieve further things. I wanted to come to my son, I wanted to come to this garden and this house to my son, I was ready to do anything to find the way to him. Then Pia promised me that she would accompany me in the earthly realm and we looked for the people. We also made the acquaintance of unfortunate spirits. We started talking to them and asked them to give us the space and release the people. The unfortunate ones also wanted to influence them, and we then asked them to refrain from doing so and let us have the right to this or that person so that we could work. We also saw that the spirits who tried to have such an unfortunate effect on people were themselves very unhappy. We often talked to them for quite a long time and gave explanations. We also had the impression that they changed their mind somewhat and took a different view. They then did not come any closer to us, but Pia explained. The moment they change and yet realize that what they are doing is not right, they will immediately connect with those spirits who show them the way. But our task, or my task, was to influence people, their thoughts, their entire actions. So I did this for a long time. Pia then introduced me to other beings again and they explained to me where they belonged and what their job was. So I submitted to these orders, I began to obey, and I found joy in this spiritual work. That is how I do it to this day, and I was promised, if I always try to appear in this way, I will be marked for that, and I will be taught for that and have my big field of work where I can work in a happy way. Well, I am trying to do CS now as best as I can. But I can tell you, my dear friends, that I feel much more content and much happier today than I did back then when I entered the spiritual realm. It took this time to overcome it, to think about it. I had to change my thinking and completely give up the desire for the beautiful, for these memories. This is how I made my own way to spiritual heights. Today I am under spiritual guidance and we stand with the people. We have our own specific time, our houses or temples, where we go to the glory of God, praise, sing and pray, and this makes me happy today. So in this hour I tried to give you a little insight into myself and my experiences. Well, I return to my workplace and speak God's blessings upon you. God bless you. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Helene by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Caldenstress, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next headline, August 20, 1958. Wilhelm, first experiences of a soul on its deathbed and in the afterlife. How recognizing the errors of earthly fidelity and true insight help with spiritual development. Greetings from the Control Spirit. Wilhelm, God bless you. I have been asked to speak to you to give an account of my passing or my dying. I was allowed to grow old. I was told it was time, I had to die. Well, I had come to terms with it, I was content because I had grown old. My relatives stood around me and I saw many things. I saw my mother and father waving to me, smiling, and they motioned for me to come to them. I was happy about their good looks, satisfied, and I wanted to tell them I was coming. Then I saw another figure, she was very beautiful and stern, without a laugh. I did not really understand it and made my comments about it each time I watched it. And then, I still remember it clearly, my relatives said, "Here TMS fantasizing." But I was not fantasizing, I saw everything clearly. Afterwards I saw a boy. He looked at me reproachfully. I recognized him, it was a colleague of mine. But here TMS gotten old and here TMS still alive, I thought. Why do I have to see him as a boy now? I would like to explain that to you. Soon after, I had another show about it. I was so physically weak and could not talk or explain much, I just gave my words. An old woman came, I still recognized her, her gait was stooped, she had a stick and a basket. Now I saw why I had to see this colleague. We called that woman the Hexenlissel. We boys each ran after her, and called her bad names. Yes, we had used stones, or whatever was on the street, and thrown them at her. I had done that too. The connection with this colleague was like this, he was there when I used these nicknames and threw stones at her. Now the priest from our village came along, he walked towards us and was the first to catch this colleague. I called out to him that he had thrown the stones and that he had called her nicknames after her. He received very severe punishment from the priest and his parents. When we met again, he beat me up, and afterward we were good friends again. I had actually forgotten this a long time ago. Now I saw this old woman and the comrade. I did not feel comfortable because I realized that I had lied and that he had been punished for me. Then I saw my parents again waving to me and that stern figure next to me again. The parents, who had initially seemed far away to me, strangely enough, came closer and closer. Now I saw something else, a document that I had written was held out to me. This document, I saw it, was as if written in blood, so red. I thought, that a TMS not true at all. I did write it, but with ordinary ink or whatever was used for it, but not with blood. And yet this letter or piece of paper, written as if in blood, shone. Now came the next thing, I once wrote a letter to a neighbor without my signature. I had accused him and not exactly written him the nicest names. Now he suddenly stood there and pointed his hand at this letter and at me. Now it was no longer a secret, so he knew I had written it. But no one else had found out. But now I suspected something bad, I knew that people were talking so much about heaven, about God and about justice, and about retribution. I was afraid, now retribution is coming. And I saw more. I met another person, a neighbor whom I had never liked, whom I had done nothing to please and whom I had insulted. Now I had to go with him, watching and overhearing what I had said about him and to whom I had said something. It was as if time had been turned back. The people I had spoken to were there and the neighbor was listening. He witnessed what I said, what I lied, and what I should not have said. I was ashamed. He pointed his finger at me. Yes, I knew it, I would have loved to ask him for forgiveness. But I did not have the strength to do so because I felt so much that the strength in my body was draining away. It was so strange for me to see all this, I encountered many more things. Yes, my whole life, I would like to say, the significant events in my life, they all took place at the time of my departure. The strangest thing was that there was simply no secret. What I would have liked to remain a secret was simply known to the others. They stood there, listening and seeing everything I had done. And I got scared. But then my parents got closer and closer. And the stern figure standing next to me was suddenly not alone, but there were three of them. They all held out their hands to me, and I gave them mine. So I was able to leave the body. So they took me and led me away from the house, from this earthly world into another environment. I could not see clearly, could not see very clearly, where I was. But it reassured me that I could see my mother and I saw my father next to me. But now I had to experience the same thing again. What I had seen and experienced before happened again. I saw again this comrade and the old, frail woman for whom we had made life so difficult. I saw this letter again, which seemed to be written in blood. They all stood there, all of them that I had wronged, lied to or cheated on in some way, and they pointed their fingers at me. I could not stand up straight, nor could I look up. I felt so weakened by this separation and this fight. But they lifted me up, gave me a drink, and I felt strengthened. I was still very aware that this was the second time I was experiencing this. But then I also thought to myself, throughout my entire life I have always spoken of justice and love and of the forgiving God. I thought I had not lived so badly after all. Where was the good? Or were you not allowed to see the good you had done? I was now not allowed to experience any of the good things I had done, not the slightest thing. I had also done good things, I knew it. Now where was the retribution from this good man? And I was saddened. Then one of these figures said to me, "Even the good of you finds its reward." They led me through a narrow path and it seemed to me as if a gate had been opened. I came into a beautiful environment. The atmosphere was so calming. I no longer felt that fear within me. I had the impression that this environment that I entered conveyed so much peace and calm to me. Well, here they wanted to show me the retribution, the reward for the good that I had done. The first thing I said was, "I know what I did." I was still a little intimidated by everything else and said, "I have done a lot of good for my wife's parents. They were poor people and I put them in a house. They did not have to pay anything, and I gave them two goats and two sheep, and they had to live. I did not have to do this." So I had secretly hoped for retribution. They saw how I thought and explained to me, "Yes, what you have done in this regard will also be retaliated against." They showed me a small house with a small garden and explained that I could live in it for the time being, that it was the reward for doing something good. Well, I was happy about it and thought that if everything else would be taken care of then, I would not be punished any further. I was a little unsure, but I saw the peaceful faces around me. Suddenly someone else was standing next to me. It was also someone who lived very close to me. He had been blind for half his life. I often went to him and brought him many a bottle of wine. I had sometimes taken him here and there because he was not given enough attention. I often went to him and told him what I had seen and explained it to him. Things he was interested in. I devoted myself to him and he was always happy when I came to him. He then said to me, "Wilhelm, I can't offer you anything, but may the good Lord reward you for the charity you show me." Now I saw him. He greeted me and said, "You see, I told you, the good Lord rewards charity." I was not amazed at that, and yet it was strange, he was so beautiful, and he saw with his eyes just as good as me. I was happy to see him and I was happy that this had been recognized and that I was now being rewarded for this charity. Yes, I became freer and happier. I now realized, first, injustice had been shown to me, and there is no escape, for no things, for no lies, for nothing at all, everything is revealed. And the ones you have lied to or cheated in some way stand there and they point their finger at you and say, "Yes, you see, I saw it, and I know it was you." I met another one. There was another one to whom I had also given a lot. He lacked his daily bread and I felt sorry for him because we had grown up together. He could not find his way in life. He was not feeling well, he was sick a lot. And so I helped him and gave him whatever I could. I had actually done this in silence. I did not tell anyone about it, not even my family.